We interrupt our regularly scheduled program for this special presentation of Inter Miami Soccer on ESPN 106.3. The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Leagues Cup action, semifinal action tonight. Our Inter Miami Herons in battle for the third time this season against our rivals up north, Orlando City. Welcome on in, folks, to Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami, everything world football related. And the big story tonight with our Herons, they are taking on Orlando. Now, this is technically the fourth time they are seeing Orlando City, if you want to count the preseason fixture where they faced off against Orlando City at Raymond James Stadium. So this is a team that Inter Miami, I mean, my goodness, folks, this is the fourth time if we're counting the preseason. They're 0-3, by the way. They lost that preseason fixture, and they lost the last two fixtures in the MLS. And our producer and co-host here at the City Place Studios on Pink Smoke, Damian Perez, want to loop him in. D, first off, welcome to the show. We'll address the elephant in the room in a second because there's a huge story going on in world football that I'm going to have to address at some point. But Inter Miami has not played Orlando City well this year. We'll talk about it a little bit more in a second. I believe the aggregate what in the MLS was 7-2, 7-1.
7-1.
We have been outscored. Excuse me, the Herons have been outscored. Our Inter Miami Herons have been outscored 7-1 in those fixtures. So we'll break down the game. We'll kind of go through what lineup we want to see. It was announced earlier today, Lionel Messi will be in the starting lineup. Jordi Alba fit and available as well. So we'll speculate about that in a bit. But folks, there's an elephant in the room. For those of you that are loyal to the program and listen week in and week out and know my football allegiances outside of our favorite soccer team, the Inter Miami Herons, I'm a massive Manchester United fan, have been for the better half of 20 years, you know, 10 years old was really, you know, I'm 30, folks, 10 years old was really when I became a fan, pre-Ronaldo. They lost to Grimsley today in the Carabao Cup. Now, am I saying that right? Is it Grimsby? Grimsley?
I believe there's a B in there.
Let's put it in perspective. They're league
Grimsby.
They're league four. Damien, let's go through it. The Premier League is the top flight.
Correct.
The EFL champions, the championship is the second division.
Yep.
League One is the third division.
Is that what they're in?
League Two is the fourth division. League Three is the fifth division, and I'm pretty positive League Four is the sixth division. Am I on something here?
Yes.
They're League Four, correct?
So they're in EFL League Two, which is the fourth division.
Okay,
after
thank you.
EFL League Two, it becomes semi-pro, so you have the National League. That's level five.
Guys.
They're in level four. So the one team, before semi-pro.
The team that my Manchester United Red Devils lost to today, the goalkeeper, after the game, said, I'm kind of fuming right now because I'm a Manchester United fan. The guy is a fisherman on the side. A literal fisherman. He cannot afford to pay rent by playing soccer, so he has a second job. That's who United lost to today.
To put it into perspective, you have the NFL, you have the UFL. The UFL would be what, second division?
The best, and Dame, quickly, the best way I could describe this, Ohio State losing to Shepherd University, which plays Division III college football.
It's even one under that. That's Division Three.
That kind of level, though. That kind of bad. It's like it's.
We're talking NAIA.
All right. We love our Kaiser Seahawks, and we love we love Kaiser, but it's like Kaiser beating Ohio State. Okay, it is an absolutely shocking result for Manchester United, and I got heated, I got angry, I got sad. I don't know how to feel, honestly. I blame Damien a bit because Damien told me this year is going to be better. Damien, it's not better. It's worse, believe it or not. And I told you, man, I said I needed a hug. I don't think that team's ever going to be good again. I really don't think United's ever going to be good again. And I think this loss to Grimsby, not Grimsley, to Grimsby, where the goalkeeper is a fisherman and a Manchester United fan, I don't think it could get worse than this. 888-760-3776 if you want to chime in. I'm going to leave it at that, though, folks.
Really quickly, before we move on, Ruben Amorim, is he staying or should he already
be fired?
How do
you sack him? How do you sack him? How with a straight face can you sack Ruben Amorim? That's my thing. Like, you're really, like, you need...
What's next kind of thing?
Like, where are you going to go? You spent, Damien, you spent close to $1 billion in the window with signing Cunha, with signing Mbeumo, signing Sesko, signing the young, the Peruvian defender. Who, all right, you just spent $1 billion on the new manager's players. So if you bring in a new manager, he's going to get rid of those said players. Like, Damien, are we really going to do this?
No, I mean.
You can't. You got to give the guy the season. You cannot sack him. You can't. You sacked Ten Hag. You sacked him mid-year. This is what happens. You deal with it. Amorim did not want to be the coach until this year, by the way. You deal with it. You made your bed. Now you lay in it. That's what I say to United fans all around the globe like myself. We put ourselves in this situation. Bad signings. Terrible, terrible coaching hires. All right? I actually think this Amorim can coach. I think that with this team, it has the... Damien, Sicilians, we have a saying. This team has the Maloik. The Maloikios on this team. A curse. They're cursed. They need a friggin' priest in that locker room or something to expel those demons. How the hell are you losing to that team? And Damien, it's not like they were in the game, mate. It was 2-0 at halftime. And Mbeumo didn't score.
And
hang on. And Mbeumo, I want to get the exact time here.
While you look at that, there was no VAR in the game. And to open the second half, there was a clear handball that should have been a penalty for Gansby on a shot.
Grimsby, yes.
Grimsby, no VAR, so obviously they didn't call it.
It should have been three. And you know that I almost said something there. You know that idiot Onana is not making a save, all right? Damien, are you aware how bad he was in penalties? He got a hand. 4 out of the 5
penalties. I'm assuming you did not see the second goal.
Dude, he got a hand, but I'm going to go to penalties. He got a hand on 5 of the balls. 4 of them went into the back of the net. And then he had the biggest, as Ken LaVica calls his voice of the inner Miami Herons, Ken LaVica. He had one of the biggest howlers I've ever seen in my life. How the hell is that guy still a professional goalkeeper? How is he still have a job? He's on 140 a week, mate. You can't play the guy. You can't. You can't play him, man. You can't. The fact that you were trotting that guy out there is a disgrace, man. Who's watching these games? I want Amorim to be there. You can't sack him. But I'm asking you, how are you starting that guy? He wouldn't play in the championship right now. It is so bad, Damien. You sign all these guys. The two guys to miss the penalty kicks. Who were they? Oh, the guys he spent $1 billion on. Cunha and Mbeumo. It's just so friggin' United, man. Is it not so United for those guys to miss the penalties? And then the guy, you got rid of David De Gea. He was there for 15 years. He was one of our best keepers in the history of the club. And you tell him to kick rocks and you bring in Onana. The biggest nightmare. I am, Damien, we've had a lot of bad signings. Onana might be the biggest nightmare signing in Manchester United history. Dare I say this is the worst loss ever. I really think this is, and listen, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know a lot pre-04 when I started becoming a fan. Okay, obviously I know the great years of Alex Ferguson and Beckham in the 90s with Keane, Giggs and company. But, God, Damien, I can't think of a worse loss off the top of my head. I really can't.
I mean, from a gambling perspective, minus 1,000.
And you took it.
I did.
Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you.
It was the last leg of my parlay, and it was the only thing to not hit. I'm not joking.
How are they still putting Onana on the field, man? Buy him out. He's the one that should be a fisherman. He's the one that should be a United fan playing for League Four. Damn it. Oh, my God. Damien, I'm watching this. I'm doing the show. I'm trying to do the show. I'm watching the penalties, and Cunha misses it. Oh, God. All right, we'll be all right. Onana will make a save. That bloke's never making a save. And then Mbeumo comes down, and he goes bar down, and it doesn't go in. They rush the field. They rush the field, Dame. The fans were on the field. Grimsby Town. Who? I hate to pull a Snoop Dogg, but Grimsby Town? Who? That's who you lost to? I could take losing to Burnley at, like, Dame, if United lost to Burnley at home on Saturday, oh, you know, they're a Premier League team, anything could happen. These guys aren't, I almost said they're on food stamps. Honest to God, they have second jobs. They can't afford rent playing the game. They have second jobs. The goalkeeper roots for United, man. I've never seen anything like this. From a top six, and they're not top six. That drives me crazy when people call United a top six club. They're not even a top 15 club. They'll be lucky not to get relegated and get their ass sent down to the championship. Oh, my God. What a disgrace. Damien, they are the biggest disgrace in world football. I can't think of a more disappointing team in the first three games of a season than that team. And they started everybody. Brother, they started Sesko. They started Bruno. They started Mbeumo. They started Cunha.
Kobbie Mainoo.
He could go. I'm bitter. Folks, like I said, how about that? I didn't want to. No, that's all I'm going to say on it. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. I don't know where you go from here. Like you said, you can't sack the manager, and I don't want to sack the manager. Who the hell are you going to get to run the team? Guys spent $1 billion in the portal. Excuse me, in the portal. Guys spent $1 billion in the window. Who the hell are you going to get? Who are you going to get? You bringing another United reject in here to run the team? You bring in, Dame, I am at a loss of words. It cannot get worse than this. Oh, it will when you lose to Burnley at home, right? We'll lose to Burnley at home. They run five at the back. We're allergic to scoring goals. You're not allowed to score goals in the first half if you're a Manchester United, if you root for United and Ruben Amorim. Oh, God. Oh, man. 888-760-3776. I got to move on because I'm going to blow a gasket. Let's do a little Messy Mania presented by our great friends at PNC.
It's time for a little Messy Mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything messy starts now. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Putting one behind the keeper takes more than talent. Sure, the pros make it look easy, but there's a whole lot of boring work behind it. Hours of drills, scrimmages, and dedication to the craft that ultimately pay off in a brilliant goal-scoring move. PNC Bank knows that it's the same with money. That's why they take a smart, steady, and, well, boring approach. So, you can make brilliant money moves that help you score your own goals. And PNC Bank makes it easy and convenient to manage your money when and where it works for you, including with new branch locations opening across Miami. See how keeping your money boring can be the brilliant move for you. Visit PNC.com/brilliantlyboring. PNC Bank, proud banking sponsor of Inter-Miami CF radio broadcasts and Brilliantly Boring since 1865. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved, member FDIC.
Folks, our Herons in action tonight, Inter-Miami and Orlando City. I want to go back to the last two fixtures Inter-Miami has faced off against the Orlando City. Now, I told you 7-1 on the aggregate. Now, good news, one of those fixtures you did not have Lionel Messi on the pitch. Messi was dealing with an injury. This was after the Necaxa game. If we remember, game number two in League's Cup, Lionel Messi suffered that hamstring injury, missed about 2 weeks, and then one of those, during those 2 weeks, one of those games was Orlando City and where the Herons fell 4-1. Now, in that first half, Yannick Bright did manage to get in the back of the net in the fifth minute. Now, the issue is that Muriel, who is absolutely, I mean, Luis Muriel and Damian Perez, Muriel and Ojeda, they have been killers of Inter Miami this year.
And the seven goals that Orlando City has scored, Muriel has three of them. So they love that matchup against Inter Miami.
So Muriel scores in the second minute, then Bright immediately answers. It's 1-1 at halftime. It's really anyone's game at half. The issue is Orlando City scores a goal in the 50th, the 58th, and the 88th. Muriel getting his brace in the 50th, Ojeda getting in the back of the net in the 58th, and then Pasalic in the 88th. So this is a team, Dame, that Inter Miami knows well, not for good reason, but it's a team that Inter Miami knows well, and I'm hoping with the acquisition of Rodrigo De Paul, with Jordi Alba being healthy, with Lionel Messi now being healthy enough to be in the starting 11, I'm hoping that it's going to be enough to beat Orlando City tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the two earlier games, in a way, kind of benefits Inter Miami if you play the probability games, because what are the odds that they beat you three times in a row? And this time, as we're all assuming, Messi will be on the field, something that for the last game in that 4-1 loss, Messi did not play in that game. So we will have Messi for this match. I think in this match, the history kind of works in Inter Miami's favor, if that's crazy to say.
Now, let's rewind back to May the 18th, Dame, because that was the first fixture. So I went through the second fixture, which was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Well, the first fixture came May 18th, and this was a game where Lionel Messi was in the starting 11, and good golly, Orlando City won 3-0. And once again, Damian said, you know, out of the seven goals, Muriel and Ojeda really been a big part of them. Muriel scored, Pasalic scored, and then Thornhulsen scored in 90-plus extra time. One of the worst losses Inter Miami had all season long. Granted, you could say the same thing about the second fixture. But for tonight, and by the way, folks, this is Messi Mania presented by our good friends at PNC, where we go through everything Messi-related, everything Inter Miami-related. We are gearing you up for the big fixture, Leagues Cup semifinal. It's an 8:30 kickoff tonight, Inter Miami and Orlando City. Our coverage is going to be starting on the Inter Miami Radio Network at 8, and then the ball gets rolling probably 8:38, 8:39 coming up later on tonight. But once again, Pink Smoke and Messi Mania with our good friends at PNC. Now, Dame, something I want to see tonight from Inter Miami. I'd like, personally, I think I'd like Mascherano to go to a 4-4-2 tonight. I think four defenders,
switch it up a bit,
four midfielders, and I would start Suarez and Messi up top together. I would. Now, since the acquisition of Rodrigo De Paul, Inter Miami and Coach Mascherano have been loving that 4-2-3-1, where you have your four defenders, your two DMs. You know, Busquets is usually the one that holds. He's always dangerous with his passes. He'll go to about midfield, a couple steps in from midfield, have his dangerous lob passes, through balls, what we call them. And then usually the other DM going box to box. We've seen Benjamin Kromaski there. We've seen Yannick Bright there. We've seen Rodrigo De Paul there. But there hasn't been much consistency at that other DM spot. We've even seen Yannick Bright in that 4-2-3-1, Damian, on the right side, coming off the right side of the pitch as a right midfielder. I'm not a fan of that. I don't think that's enough attacking play coming from the right side. I know with how Inter Miami has been playing, they've been playing the ball through the left, going centralized once they get past midfield, getting the ball at their 10's feet, and then making the pass into the 9. But tonight, I would like to see a 4-4-2 from Mascherano to switch things up, especially since Messi is back. And we've seen when Messi does play up top at the opposite striker of Suarez, he ends up playing a little bit behind Suarez and giving him his passes in the box and whatnot. And also, I could argue, Dame, in Leagues Cup, in the MLS, and how great Lionel Messi is still in world football, I want him at that number 10 position because it gives him an opportunity to dribble in the box. I know Inter Miami doesn't necessarily get penalties in the MLS, but you saw handballs happen in the box twice against Tigres. So have Messi play as the 10, dribble around in the box like he always does, fish for penalties, or just flat out score. I mean, how many times have we seen Messi put the ball on a yo-yo on his foot and end up in the back of the net? I'm excited for tonight. I really am. I think this could be the ultimate revenge game for Inter Miami, who is really 0-4, if you want to count the preseason, are 0-4 versus Orlando City. I think it's going to be a big night for the Herons, and I think they got revenge on their mind, Dame.
Yeah, absolutely. And something else that Messi does from that number 10 position is he finds that left back and right back very well, which actually produces those crosses that the handball came from. But another player that I would love to see tonight, and I don't know if he's starting, but I think he's been key in the last few games, is Baltasar Rodriguez. Every minute, every time Baltasar has come in, he's been very dangerous. Last game against DC United, he actually produced a screamer after coming early in that second half and giving us that tie. So I think Baltasar Rodriguez is someone who's in a great moment, and I would love to see him get some minutes tonight, if not start.
He had a worldie. He had a worldie in that second half against DC. Now, Dame, you got to find a way to win that game. And that's where I wanted to go next. I wanted to kind of rewind back to Saturday night in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. How the hell didn't they call that a handball at the end of the game? That referee ought to be ashamed of himself. And the fact that, and folks, for those, a little context, it was 1-1. It was 1-1. Extra time, Inter Miami, their last possession, Dame. I mean, really, their last possession. Ball gets sent in to the box, Inter Miami chance to score. DC United thwarts the ball away, but the issue was a handball. Clear as day, too. I mean, a clear as day handball on DC United that doesn't get called. The referee didn't even go to the monitor to look at it. He didn't even radio VAR to look at that. Damien, insane. How doesn't VAR take a look at that? How aren't the Herons getting the benefit of the doubt on calls like that? And I don't mean to be rude. Like, I think the MLS has come a long way. I think Leagues Cup is proving that, Dame. There were four Liga MX teams and four MLS teams. The four MLS teams all advanced to Leagues Cup. I think it's the best league on this side of the hemisphere. But, Damien, people are watching this league for Inter Miami and Lionel Messi and Rodrigo De Paul and Luis Suarez and Jordi Alba and Sergio Busquets. How aren't they getting the benefit of the doubt on these calls? That was just shocking turn of events in D.C., the fact that Inter Miami did not get a handball for that.
Yeah, it's unreal. Since Messi has came to the MLS, since he's came to this Inter Miami team, he's only had one penalty kick. That's unbelievable. Son, on his first, I think it was his first game starting, he had a penalty. So to your point, I don't think Inter Miami is getting the help from the... This is not us asking for help, but just level out the playing ground.
Oh, I'm
keep
asking.
It consistent because we see that penalty called for other teams.
I'll ask for help. That was a penalty. That was a handball and a clear spot kick. That's the only reason I will ask for help is because that's got to be better. And Dame, you told me there was great sound on the Spanish side. You want to? Obviously, I'm not a bilingual brother. What was Mascherano saying? Was there anything that really made news on that side in the presser with Coach Mascherano?
I didn't hear anything from the press, but I know that when the play happened live, Leo and Fernando were absolutely losing it. They
right.
were saying, how is this not at least being checked by VAR? Why doesn't the ref kind of check, make sure he's making the right call? Because to us, it was clear. When you see the replay, it was clear. It checks all the boxes when you look at the rule. So it's why did the ref at least not go check it out in VAR?
You got to go to the monitor. You at least got to look at it and do your due diligence. And obviously, Damien is talking about Leo and Fernando, the play-by-play and color commentators on the Deporte site, 760 a.m. Damien will be live with the pregame on the Deporte side coming up at 7:30. I will be live on the English side on 106.3 coming up at 8 o'clock. Ken LaVica will be on the call at 8:30 when the ball gets rolling. Chase Stadium, Orlando City, and Inter Miami, round number 4. Well, let's take our first time out. That was Messi Mania presented by our good friends at PNC. Once again, Messi Mania with our friends at PNC. We're gearing you up. We are gearing you up for Inter Miami and Orlando City coming up later on tonight, 8:30. Stay locked in. Pink Smoke on ESPN 106.3. When you
see that pink smoke. This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Welcome back, folks. Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter-Miami, everything world football. And we are gearing you up tonight, Inter-Miami and Orlando City, round four, if you're counting the preseason, round three, if you are counting the regular season. We did a little Messi Mania with PNC, the segment before we went through all the big headlines with our Inter-Miami Herons. But now it is time to go through the injury report, the Inter-Miami injury report, that is, with their good friends at Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
Now it's time for the Inter-Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath.
And now a fight for it, won right back by Inter-Miami.
Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
This foryourrights.com for 35 years. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath have been representing injured people and their family here in the South Florida area. Foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath have your back. Alan Abando, the only player on that Inter-Miami injury report. Obviously, heading into the night, you had Lionel Messi, Jordi Alba, and a plethora of Herons that were banged up and dealing with a few injuries. But good news for tonight. We know Lionel Messi is going to be in the starting 11. We know Jordi Alba is going to be in the starting 11. Damian, I can only assume that the enforcer, Rodrigo De Paul, is going to be in the starting 11 tonight. I can only assume that Sergio Busquets, of course, Suarez, full strength lineup tonight, I am assuming, for Inter-Miami. But Alan Abando, dealing with a hamstring injury, he is expected back late September. Now,
as he's been all season.
He really honestly has, and I was excited. Now, Alan Abando, Dame, what's the Ecuadorian side he came on over
Barcelona.
From? So he came on over, not the Barcelona in Spain, folks, the Ecuadorian Barcelona team, but his rights as a player are owned by Atletico Madrid.
Correct.
So this is a player who has a lot of potential. 18-year-old teenager. We thought he would be the go-to backup striker to Luis Suarez this year. The issue there is injuries, to Damian's credit. And 19 years old. Remember that game? What was it against the first fixture? No, FC Dallas, maybe? He had an aerial goal where we were like, wow, we were oozing at. But after that, he has not been able to get out on the field. He's not been able to get into the back of the net. He has played 154 minutes. He's played in six matches, started in one back in that FC Dallas game, and has one goal on the season. So Inter-Miami certainly could maybe use a backup striker, Damian Perez.
Yeah.
But, I, you know, Luis Suarez has been playing well, and that's why I want to see a 4-4-2 tonight for Inter. Because I think it takes the pressure a little bit off of Suarez having Messi behind him. He knows Messi's going to be able to be magic with the ball. But that is really the only player on the injury report right now, at least. Obviously, we won't officially know until Coach Mascherano releases his starting 11. It's close to about 7:45, 7:30. But Abando, the only one listed on the Lytle, Ryder, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath injury report. Now, Orlando City, on the other hand, Duncan McGuire, Wilder Cartagena, and Yotaro Tuscada. So Tuscada. Those are the three players on the injury report for Orlando City. None of them starters. None of them kind of staples in the lineup. McGuire comes off the bench every now and then. But none of those three are really any starters. And Orlando City is going to be close to full strength. And I just got done telling you guys that I think Inter-Miami is going to be full strength as well. Dame, are you scared of Orlando tonight?
No. I think
really 7-1 on the aggregate.
Yeah, I get it. But a lot of that was the 4-1 game where Messi did not play in. I think Inter Miami's got that chip on their shoulder, which is usually the other way around. Usually teams kind of love to play Inter Miami. That's the team that has the target on their back. But in this case, Orlando has used it as a punching bag, and I think this is the game where Inter-Miami finally gets them off their back.
So, folks, FotMob is one of my favorite football websites. If you go and click on the fixture, you could vote on the fixture, Damian. 45,000 people have voted on the fixture on FotMob, 59% going with the Herons, 23% going with Orlando. I'm shocked it's that high, to be honest.
It was probably like that the last two games. Maybe not the last one with Messi out, but
they, with the way they play with Muriel and Ojeda, man, they are running wild every time. I think it's up to I think it's up to Mascherano to figure things out in the midfield, because a lot of the times, and a lot of the goals I feel like Orlando City has scored have come on a counter, Dame. Mm-hmm. Like, they have countered Inter Miami to death with Ojeda and Muriel, both of them very fast players, very athletic players, and have been able to get behind the Inter Miami defense. But maybe you play Sergio deeper. Maybe you play whoever that holding DM is a little deeper tonight. That would be my, you know, listen, Coach Mascherano knows more football than I ever will in my entire life. But that would be my critique, just or rather my advice. Maybe play a DM a little deeper so you don't get hit on the counter as much against a team like Orlando. And I cannot believe I forgot this. We didn't touch on this. Damien, how about Coach Mascherano on the cell phone? I cannot believe I forgot about
amazing.
This.
That was amazing. That was a scene.
Leagues Cup quarterfinal, Tigres, this time a week ago, Mike, Coach Mascherano got thrown out of the game. He's unavailable tonight, right? He's not available for tonight.
No.
So, no. Is he going to be in the stands on a cell phone? Or is he not allowed
probably.
On the premises?
I mean, apparently what he did broke no rules.
Actually, folks, Coach Mascherano not injured, but not available for the game tonight. Coach Mascherano on the DL, or excuse me, Coach Mascherano on the IL with a red card. For those of you that don't know,
he should have been part of the injury, the lighter rider injury report.
That's why I said it. Literally, I just got reminded for some reason talking about Orlando City. We don't have our manager tonight because this time last week, Coach Mascherano got thrown out of the game. But in one of the oddest things you'll ever see, he stayed in the stadium and was front row behind the Inter Miami bench. And there's the famous picture of him on the cell phone screaming, waving his hand. And his assistant coach on the sideline has him on speakerphone trying to listen what Coach Mascherano is talking about.
That was
Damien,
something,
it is pure
man.
Comedy.
That was that. And again, Leagues Cup actually came out with a statement and clarified that he broke no rules.
So he will be, he'll be front row again.
Unless they change the rules.
I don't know if he's going to be allowed to be on. He couldn't have been allowed to be on a cell phone.
Well, did you see when they asked him about that? He said he wasn't talking to the assistant coach.
Okay.
He was talking to other coaches, which I guess, in a sense, pats the message over to the assistant. But he apparently, allegedly, was not talking directly to the coach that was in charge.
Yeah, and, you know, he wasn't talking to the coach that wasn't in charge, and I'm not.
It was just a crazy coincidence, Mike.
Yeah, correct. And I'm not upset that United lost to a bunch of fishermen in Grimsby Town. 888-760-3776 is that number to call on in. We are gearing up for Inter Miami and Orlando City. Injury report light on both sides. We're expecting both teams to be at full strength coming up tonight. I kind of gave my two cents. I want to see a two-striker partnership tonight with Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez. Would love to see a 4-4-2. What I think Mascherano is going to do, he's going to go with that 4-2-3-1 that he's been going with for the last couple of fixtures. I think Orlando's coming strong with that 4-4-2, Dame. We've seen four times now. Obviously, I keep mentioning that preseason fixture. But even I even remember as far back as preseason, four times now, Orlando City has started with that 4-4-2 with the two strikers up top in Ojeda and Muriel. I stand corrected. The last time in Orlando, Ojeda played as a 10. He was an attacking midfielder. Now that he played behind Muriel. Regardless, those two up top, Ojeda and Muriel, Coach Mascherano, how are you going to neutralize them? How are you going to neutralize those two who have just been terrorizing our Inter Miami defense for the better half of a full year? I mean, you've played this team every other month, it seems, dating back to the preseason. Month number five of MLS coverage. You've played them every other month, and it's been the same result. Maybe besides that preseason fixture where you still lost, by the way. Inter Miami certainly, I think, going to have their hands full with Muriel and Ojeda, but I also think they're going to the Orlando City is going to have their hands full with an inspired Lionel Messi tonight. I think it's a different gear Messi kicks it in these cup games. Obviously, CONCACAF Gold Cup, Champions Gold Cup didn't go the way that Inter Miami wanted, losing into the semifinal to Vancouver. But I think tonight, especially, and listen, Dame, you dropped points in D.C. I hope they're ready to play. I really do. You lost 2 points in D.C. because you didn't want to start your starters. By the way, I hated that lineup. If I could go back, I hated that starting lineup. I mean, Mascherano had to use all of his subs to get a point in that game. Kromoski, and listen, I root for Benjamin Kromoski. He's a United States men's national team player. He's captain of the, I think, the U-21s. Like, Kromoski's a guy I like rooting for. He's such a great kid, but man, did he have a stinker. He had a stinker. And Mascherano kept him out there. Fair play to him. He didn't get hooked. I thought he was definitely a candidate for what I call Damian Perez, a stinker and a hook. Side note, do you want to know who needed a stinker and a hook today? Andre Onana. Back on track, though. Fair play to Kromoski for playing it out. He's clearly frustrated at moments on the pitch for Inter. He played it out. He played his heart out. But that lineup cost him. It did. It did. And I think that's on the manager. I will be hard on Mascherano there. He thought he could get away with, you know, the C team with Davi Ruiz. And I mean, that was a nightmare of a lineup. It really was, Dave. Am I wrong on that?
It was. You're not wrong. But I feel like Mascherano had, I mean, that was the correct decision. With all the games we've been playing.
I probably would have went Sergio. But you want home field. My pushback is you want home field in the MLS. You want to be one of the top four teams. That's all I'm saying.
But even with that tie, if Inter Miami wins the, what is it, three or four games that they're trailing the other teams, they're still in first place.
I'm starting to think that's just not realistic at this point. Right? With the MLS fixtures that we've seen our Herons play. And listen, we've looked great at moments. Inter-Miami, I still stand by what I said 3 months ago. Inter-Miami is the best team on this side of the continent. But there is inconsistency. There is.
Well, the thing is,
I don't think it's realistic to say they're going to win all those games.
Inter-Miami plays midweek, possibly every week, I think, for the rest of till the end of October, really.
Till
the end of September to make up those games that they're lacking due to the World Cup, the Club World Cup.
And I asked the voice of the Herons, Ken Lavica, that same question. I'm like, Ken, I've been looking at Inter Miami being behind on the game sheet for 3.5 months, 2.5 months. I mean, Dame, they were three games back in May.
Yeah.
May.
They've been taking a while to make up those games, too.
And
I mean, they haven't had the opportunity with League's Cup to be in reality. So,
right.
I think Inter Miami's main goal, apart from getting that home field advantage, is to be healthy when the playoffs come around.
Damien, Toto Aviles was playing DM. What the hell? Mate, you got to explain that to me. DM? He's a center back.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, and he's a center back.
Technical with the ball?
He's a center back who in the past has been a bit trigger happy with his tackles. We've seen him get into some tough situations early
starting,
in the game.
He lost his starting gig.
Yeah.
Maxi Falcone really and Gonzalo Luan have really become staples for Mascherano. And even Noah Allen. Noah Allen played left back last game. But it's really Dame.
And Tadeo Allende at striker, who's been probably the driest run in this Inter-Miami team.
He can't make a first touch. Damien cannot.
It's that last decision too.
And the sad part is the first touch has usually been the last decision for Allende. Damien does such a great job of getting open and getting in space, and then when the ball gets to his foot, all hell breaks.
Yeah, he makes great
I don't know
runs.
What it is?
He's fast enough to get to the ball and get in a good position, but it's always that last touch, that last decision that it just gets the best of him.
I think he was the MVP in about May and June.
Oh, yeah, coming into the season.
And even the FIFA Club World Cup, he played fantastic in.
He's in a huge slump.
So we hope Allende, who really has been coming off the left, right, you know, Mascherano has had him coming off of both sides, playing striker. I'd be shocked not to see him in the lineup. Damien, I thought Fafa was, you know, I'm a big Fafa Pico guy. I am. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great person for the locker room. I don't think he particularly had a good game against DC United either. Not a lot of people did, though, to be fair. Not a lot of players outside of the sub-ins that came in played well. How about Mascherano? He subbed in Rodrigo De Paul. He subbed in
Baltasar Rodriguez.
He subbed in Suarez. And then who was the fourth? Sergio? Yeah,
Busquets. Sergio Busquets.
Just start him. Start him. That doesn't happen. You don't have to come in and play hero ball for the final 80 minutes of the, you know, 80. For the final 45 minutes of the game. Maybe you go up 2-0. You could take them out. And then you know, 888-760-3776. And once again, the injury report, Lytle Rider, Smith, Ivy, and Frano have been serving injured people and their families for 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. The Lytle Rider, Smith, Ivy, and Frano injury report featuring only Alan Abando as of right now. Obviously, we will get more information from Coach Mascherano when he turns in his full 11 and reserves coming up at 7:30-ish, 7:45-ish. We have an 8:30 kickoff coming up tonight. Bit of a nightcap for us East Coasters out here in Leagues Cup. When we return, we will go around Leagues Cup presented by our good friends at Audi, but plenty more to do. Pink Smoke, Mike Rizzo, Damian Perez. We are live on ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Our final segment, Pink Smoke, 888-760-3776 is the number to call on in. Want to talk a little football, want to talk a little Inter-Miami. We have a Leagues Cup semifinal for our Herons tonight at Chase Stadium. Dame, I think there's going to be a little rain. What do you think? I think there's going to be some rain tonight.
Looks like it.
And it
definitely looks like
now,
it.
Now, we're north, a little cloudy here, about 40 minutes north here in West Palm Beach. A little cloudy here in West Palm. I'm assuming similar weather in Fort Lauderdale, but we will get the sense of the weather from our good friend Ken LaVica, who will be on the call coming up at 8:30, a late start for Damian and I tonight on the radio network. D will be kicking things off at 7:30, and then I will be going live at 8 o'clock with the pregame show. Damian on the pregame show on 760 AM ESPN Deportes, and I am on the pregame for the English side, ESPN 106.3, once again, starting at 8 o'clock. And folks, it is now time to go around Leagues Cup, presented by our great friends at Audi. Do you want more for your drive? Well, I got it for you. The all-new Audi Q6 with a powerful, sporty silhouette, dynamic handling, responsive steering, makes every drive better than the last. Introducing the Audi Q6, Audi's best made better. Test drive the brand new Q6 at your local South Florida Audi dealer today or visit AudiUSA.com to learn more. That is AudiUSA.com to learn more. Dame, what do you make of Leagues Cup featuring all MLS teams and all the Liga MX teams bowing out?
I think it's like you said it earlier. This is the MLS is the best team on this side of the world. This is the tournament that you prove it in, right? Because the CONCACAF Champions is another one, but that's not strictly MLS versus Liga MX. There's other teams involved. This is MLS versus Liga MX. Now, there is that variable where all the games are played in the USA, but the thing with that is that the Liga MX are okay with that because from a marketing perspective, it benefits them as well.
Yeah, and their fans travel well. There are plenty of Mexican fans here in the States as well.
The Mexican national teams, they'll play their friendlies even if it's against a team from South America in the United States. They'll always play it in either California or Vegas. So
And listen, as you guys, if you were listening in the first segment, I'm a miserable soccer fan right now outside of our Herons. But as a miserable United States men's national team fan too right now, they outdraw us. We could have it in the States. There's going to be more Mexican fans there. So the Mexican fans travel great. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I just think the MLS is the better quality team. Now, they'll argue Cruz Azul. Cruz Azul, Dame, for winning the Gold Cup that you mentioned. Now, they lost 7-0 to Tigres. That was a little Liga MX action. Liga MX versus Liga MX, but Tigres went 7-0, Dame. I'm almost to the point where I want to look into collusion. How the hell do you lose 7-0? Especially two Liga MX teams that kind of know each other very well. Isn't that crazy? 7-0? Are they throwing the game?
And many would say that Tigres was the best team coming out of Mexico at that time with the acquisition of Correa. So Cruz Azul did win the CONCACAF Champions, but I still give the edge to Tigres, and I give the edge to America as well.
By the way, to rewind to that semifinal game, that quarterfinal game we saw a week ago between our Herons and Tigres, I mean, thank God for Aquino, the right back. That guy, Damian, watches soccer for 20 years. I've never seen two handballs by the same bloke.
What are the odds?
Never seen it. That poor guy. Oh, God. You'd be sick to your stomach. Honey, how'd work go? Ugh.
She probably watched.
We lost because of me.
His whole family probably watched.
The worst part, it's never really on one player, Damian. Damien, you played soccer at a high level. You played at Benjamin. You were a star at Benjamin, and you were a star at your college. But it's like, you hate to blame one person, but how don't you? Yeah, I lost us the game. Like, Aquino lost him the game. That's the sad conclusion.
That was And that was the same handball that they didn't call on DC United. Like, if you look at both plays, it's literally the same exact play.
You want to know what the MLS will tell you?
Different tournaments.
It's ridiculous. That was one of the worst calls you'll see, that DC United game. And I hate to still be on that. Like, that happened Saturday. I understand I got to move on. Just like how I got to move on from the Grimsby loss for United. League 4 team. But certainly the Herons, you know, they're right where they want to be. Listen, you could sit here and say Aquino is the only reason they advanced. I think Inter Miami has a great chance of winning tonight. I do. With Messi back in the lineup, I know Orlando City has had the number of Inter Miami. I hate even saying their name. You're talking to an Ohio guy who doesn't even say the name of his rival of the team up north. But, like, I'm about to start calling Orlando City the team up north. I really am. I can't stand that team. I sports hate that team, damn. I really do. Muriel and Ojeda, I've had nightmares of those guys just running down the throat of our defense. Like I said, dude, Mascherano, if you're listening, first off, you're a centurion for Barcelona and Liverpool. Mad respect, brother. That guy had game, Coach Mascherano, by the way. One of the best center backs of my generation when I started watching soccer. Regardless, Coach, maybe you play Sergio a step back tonight. I don't want to see Ojeda and Muriel on the counter. I've had nightmares of that. Two different times already in the regular season and one time already in the preseason. I'm good on that. Switch up the script tonight,
Dave. I'm curious to see if Chelo gets the start, because if Chelo does have a glaring weakness, it's those counterattack balls that kind of come over top for him.
He's got nothing. Dame, can I say something? I don't know what he does well. I really don't. I don't know what Marcelo Weigand does well.
At least better than Ian Frey.
Ian Frey's better going forward, though.
100%.
Now,
I think he's better in general.
The reason I bring this up for Chelo, what game? Damn, we're on the call for so many of these games. They all run
together.
And
a lot of his mistakes are very similar.
Here's the thing.
It's always a ball over the top.
Was it Tigres? No, it was the Galaxy game. That's who it was. They had the same damn jersey, same color scheme. Damien, the Galaxy game, the lone goal that Pentacilla scored. Dude, he blew past Weigand. I mean, never had a chance.
And Lujan.
And then megged Lujan in the box. But, like, I don't think Chelo defends well, and I don't think he goes forward well. And Dame, the worst part, he doesn't pass well. Like, half of the reason I don't think he's good going forward is because he can't make a pass, mate. Anytime he gives service, and, like, Mascherano, we've learned one thing, especially more with Alba, more so Alba. But Mascherano does ask the right side to give some service balls in and be up in the attack. Chelo can't do that. Now, let's give him some credit. I forget what game it was. He had the massive goal to tie it up. Inter Miami ended up winning. He's had big plays this year. I understand that. Dare I say I'd rather give Ian Frey more time. Just because he's a younger player, and I think he's got more athleticism. But I know Mascherano is going to go with the proven veteran guy, especially this year when you're trying to win cups and you're trying to win the MLS. I just don't know what Chelo does well. And that's with all due respect. I know he's a solid player. I know that he's one of the probably more veteran guys that Coach Mascherano can rely on. But I don't think he could play him tonight. He's too slow. He's in quicksand against a team like Orlando City. So... but you did try Ian Frey at Orlando, and it was a nightmare. Granted, no one played well in that second half, Dame. Nobody played well in the second half. But let's turn the tide tonight. As our Herons try to, it's not even the rubber match, but as they try to win one against Orlando City, but I could argue it could be the most important one of the season. Now, Inter Miami, I think Inter Miami has a 99.8% chance of making the playoffs. You could see Orlando City in the playoffs at some point, Dame. You could see them for a fifth time if you want to count, fourth time if you're not counting preseason. But
they're in the Eastern Conference. We can see them in the Eastern Conference finals.
I hope we don't.
If not before.
I hope we don't, Dame. I hope we don't. I hope someone else is able to take care of him on the table before that. But regardless, you got him tonight. And both Damian and I will both continue to break these games down. Once again, Damian going to be on the Spanish side coming up at 7:30. I will be on the English side at about 8 o'clock. So 7:30 for Damian, 7:60 a.m. Deportes. For me, 8 o'clock, the English side, ESPN 106.3. Want to remind everybody, too, Deportes does have a live stream, and English does have a live stream as well. YouTube, X, and Facebook. You can find the streams on YouTube, X, and Facebook. We want the Spanish speakers on the Spanish stream. We want the English speakers on the English stream. Once again, Spanish people on the Spanish stream, English people on the English stream. This has been Pink Smoke once again, where we talk everything Inter Miami, everything football related. Go Herons, baby. Let's win this semifinal Leagues Cup tonight. We'll talk to you here in just a few moments. Once again, Damian and I are going to be live with pregame. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.